And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show goes from Huntsville all the way back on over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back on over to Gadsden. Y'all, I'm talking about all the way down to that prettiest little town on the plains called Auburn. And yes, even big old patches of Georgia and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. Text lines, I got to get a few more of those and keep caught up. Kano from Layton, Alabama, wants to make sure that I know. Hang on a second. What do we got here? There's something about an event. I tell you what, we'll take a look at that text. I'm not sure what it is, so before I read it out, I better double check that. Tom with all the not that one. I won't do that one. I just realized some of these things are saying, "Hey, don't read out this part." Y'all are killing me with this. Don't you know I go in real time? Wiley from Gunnersville, thank you. Phil, great monologue. Just wanted to comment that I spent 12 years at Redstone Arsenal as a contractor. The site manager that I worked under is a liberal Democrat. He hated all things email. Phone calls and in-person conversation were his preferred method of communication. Email could hold him accountable, but he could try to weasel out of the others. Just my personal experience of time spent working on a government installation under a liberal. Yeah, they exist. I mean, listen, they exist everywhere. They're in the Pentagon. I mean, they're everybody has a right to their own viewpoint, right? And so, Wiley, thanks for the text. I am not surprised to find out that there are localized leaders who are either A, expressing slow your roll on the response because you work in a classified environment and remember what your parameters are when it comes to disclosing things over the Nippernet, the non-secure internet. And then at the same time, there are others who have an agenda of their own and they don't want Trump to succeed and they're trying to drag all their employees into their negativity with them. Don't be a part of it. But my point that I said earlier to the individual who emailed me this morning. If you say that you support the Trump administration and you got this email and you're not ashamed of what you do for a living, but your local boss is saying maybe not send that, then just send the email to your local boss so that if they ever do come around and say, all right, we did not get a response from you, you can say, well, I sent it to my boss. He said he was going to send it forward to you or not. And then it's not on you. But I just, listen, ain't nothing going to hurt by sending it. And you can do it in generalities. That's all there is to it. I'm almost tired of saying it. One of our listeners, whose name I shall not read out, says, heck yeah. He said, good idea with that stuff. Can't be talked about. Had no issues coming up with six bullets. Sent my email. No problems. Common sense is my superpower, he said.
Well, did you see the lady, the federal employee that called into the Breakfast Club, which is Charlemagne the God, his show, and said how she was all for this email because it gives her a chance for a promotion.
That's
and
right.
It gives her a chance to brag about what she's doing and basically said, if you're a federal employee and this is too big of an ask for you, then you need to look for something else to do, pretty much. It's funny, you know, how many, I think the exaggeration from the media is a lot bigger and not proportionate to the actual federal employee response.
It's turned into a clickbait story.
Yep.
And it's really not. But liberals need something to scream about. This is mean. It's not mean. I mean, apparently you've never run a business. Tony from Franklin, Tennessee says, listening all the way from Fort Campbell, Kentucky. Love it, sir. Man, Tony, appreciate you. Thank you very much. Rockasans. John from Brownsboro says, send the email to your boss, then reply to the president's email saying you are indeed alive and well, still doing your job, however you were instructed not to comply, and refer them to your boss if they need your full reply. Therefore, you have complied to both orders somewhat and remove yourself from the equation. John, you are indeed a sage of wisdom. Thank you very much. And then Cameron from Decatur says, Phil, try to act surprised when you get the call to replace Bongino. I will not be surprised, but I will be blessed. We'll see what God does. And by the way, one of our listeners who said don't say his name, and he checked back in again. He said, I've had different bosses over the years. Some wanted a weekly sit rep. Others did not. Shouldn't be a big deal. Just tell them what you did that week. There you go. All right, let's change the subject here. All right, because I have a feeling this one could go viral and take over the show again. And we're going to talk about it a little bit, kind of we're going to cover this in a second dipper of the day, culling the herd. But let me jump into a story that is at the other side of the top of the news. All right, Russia, Ukraine. What you are seeing right now is history. And let me start off by opining on something that I put a brief commentary about on my social media this morning. By the way, you can follow me on X at Sinfield Williams. You can also follow me on Facebook. And I encourage you to do so because we also live stream the show in those places. But here's the thing. Peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers. You've heard that. It's scripture. Blessed are the peacemakers. It did not say blessed are the peacekeepers. In the parlance of the world, and I do believe it matches what scripture is talking about, in the parlance of the world, the peacemakers and the peacekeepers are two different things. Peacekeepers. How many times have we heard about, like for instance, I have a family member that did a peacekeeping tour in the Sinai Peninsula in the U.S. military. Do you know we still have troops there? We do. The Sinai Peninsula, peacekeeping operation. What is that? That is one group that stands in between two other potentially warring groups and tries to keep them from smacking each other down. Those are the ones that try to stand in the middle and prevent the outbreak by standing in the middle. And that's what they do. They're constantly like this, stiff. You can't see what I'm doing. They're stiff-arming back and forth. Don't do that. Don't do that. You can't do that. I'm meeting with you to talk to you about not doing that. Don't do that. And they're trying to enforce something that is already in writing, that has already been agreed to, that the parameters for which have already been set. They're just peacekeepers. The peacemakers, blessed are the peacemakers. The peacemakers are the ones who get people to come to the table who don't want to make peace, but they will because they've been told they have to come to the table. That is where we are right now. The Biden administration's foreign policy was largely built on the notions of appeasement and containment. Appeasement and containment, which, by the way, is a horrible foreign policy position. Appeasement, meaning try to pacify somebody, try to appeal to their nature, try to give them something so they'll please leave you alone. Don't be mean. And so you give them something. You're appeasing them. Containment is just where you try to sort of keep them inside their own borders. And can you just stay over there? Just stay over there. Just stay over there. That's containment and appeasement. And those things are awful foreign policy. And you do not negotiate from strength if your whole outlay is designed around the notions of appeasement and containment. The Trump administration has a stated position of peace through strength. Peace through strength means you're a peacemaker, and you're not about appeasement and containment. You're about negotiation, but they all know the negotiation carries with it a big stick. This is a case of speak softly, not always. This is a case of speak softly and carry a big stick. That's where we are right now. And we should be, because we're the United States of freaking America. Why would we not negotiate like that? And peacemakers are the ones who step into the fray and they bring people to the table to make peace. Now, there's a lot of talk about what's going on with Ukraine and Russia. And whether or not all of a sudden we're just like abandoning Ukraine, and I just don't understand why we do this. And I have some thoughts on that. You do? Yes, I do. Number one, we're not abandoning Ukraine. And number two, we're not suddenly appeasing Russia. I will tell you this. I think I said on the show the other day that what we're watching is truly, it's almost like a mediation. Well, it is a mediation. It's called shuttle diplomacy. It's where the peacemaker shuttles between the parties. What are you going to do over here? We can talk to you. Okay, they're offering this. Can you do that? Can you do this? I'm going to tell you, here's your strengths and your weaknesses. You got to do better. All right, I'm going back to them. And they go back to them and they say, hey, here's what they said. And they responded this way and their counteroffer is, and can you do that? Listen, your strengths and your weaknesses are this. Vladimir Putin does not respond to someone calling him out on the world stage because he's a man who governs from a position of trying to save face at all times. And he knows he's screwed up with this war, and he knows he's losing value in his own circles back home. He knows his economy's in trouble. And he is not going to negotiate when he is being called a tyrant. And so suddenly the press is like, Trump won't call him a tyrant. Trump won't call him the aggressor. To what end? When you're trying to get the guy to the table to mediate, what is the point of making him look small? That's not going to work. Zelensky, on the other hand, Zelensky wants what we have. Zelensky wants more support. Zelensky is the underdog in this situation, who, by the way, I will say this. I'm a big fan of the way Ukrainian troops have been putting the wood to the Russians for the last 3 years. Give them some props. They have been the underdog, and they have been smacking Russia in the face at every turn. This war was supposed to be over in 5 days. We're in the fourth year right now. That being said, yes, Zelensky's getting called out hard, and he should, because he took arms, wanted more, you know, came over here and spoke to Congress, lobbying people for it. And there's a lot of people that believe that there was some measure of collusion with the Biden administration for personal gain. But there's also been no accountability. We sent billions of dollars, and we don't know where they all went. We deserve to have them give us an accounting. We're also watching him getting kind of put in his place. He was the wunderkind for a while. He was the guy who could do no wrong. Well, guess what? He's not. But the way you get him to the table is by making him feel like he's losing his edge, and so he's got to come to the table to show that he's the guy. All right. That's where we are right now. Peacemaker is making peace by appealing to the baser instincts and natures of the two warring factions. Putin is all puffed up and doesn't want to admit that he's a goob and he's a tyrant. So we're not going to call him that, because if we do, he won't come to the table. He's going to come to the table. At the same time, Zelensky has been all puffed up, believing he could do no wrong. And now we're pointing out to the world, you've done some wrong. You're not the wonder kid we thought you were. And if you want our support, you're going to have to do some things. And he's going to come to the table. In fact, reports are right now Zelensky will be in Washington, D.C. on Friday. Breaking news just a little while ago is that, yes, Zelensky is coming to the United States. Why? Well, here's the next piece. When I get back from this break, I'm going to tell you about chess versus checkers. Y'all, I'm giving you the straight skinny. When you have those water cooler conversations with people, when somebody says, what do you think about the war in Ukraine? You can say, listen, I got the full skinny on this, and here's how it lays out. I'm going to give you all the stuff for that conversation. When we come back, I'm going to tell you why this mineral deal with Ukraine is chess versus checkers. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. All right, so let me just keep this thread going here. The war in Ukraine and Russia. Let's keep in mind, we all know, the world all knows, that Russia was the aggressor. Ukraine didn't say, hey, come fight us, please. That didn't happen. Ukraine didn't send a missile and then Russia had to respond. It wasn't like that. The bottom line is that Russia looked across the border and wanted what they saw. That's all it boils down to. Let's not forget, although most of the world has forgotten, that in 2014, Russia decided it wanted half of, or about a third of, Ukraine, which was called the Crimean Peninsula. That was all of the warm water ports, basically, that the Ukrainian people had. Russia wanted warm water ports. Russia swears that there were a number of people of Russian descent who were trapped inside of Crimea, feeling like they were persecuted. They had to step in on behalf of those peoples. Bull crap. No, they didn't. Russia could care less about people's feelings. Russia burns its own people every single day. What really happened was Russia wanted what they saw. They saw it, and they took it. And Obama and Biden said nothing. They just went, huh, wow, that just happened. Anyway, next in the news, that's how that went. Crimean Peninsula, this would be like the lower half of Florida being taken away. And so the tension began to rise, because whereas the world didn't want to say much because it wasn't sure what they should say to a big, scary Russia, which is now not near as scary, the big, scary Russia got away with taking the Crimean Peninsula. Fast forward a few years. Russia still wants more. Russia's economy's in the tank. Russia has a dearth of assets. They do have some natural gas and other assets they can sell, but they also look across the border and they recognize three things actually. Major nuclear power generation capability in Ukraine. Major agricultural capacity in Ukraine. They are the breadbasket of Eastern Europe. And then what's also been discovered is undeveloped, vast, untapped resources of minerals, to include rare earth minerals, which are so crucial these days to making things like microchips and batteries and all of it. This is a game changer for Russia if they can get their hands on it. A lot of it is in eastern Ukraine, right on the Russian border. So what do? They decided they wanted it. And they created this whole pretext of, well, there's talk about them being in NATO. Yes, that's part of it. I agree. I think that is part of it. National security, that's their excuse, though. What really happens is they want what they saw. So they came across the border. You may have heard that we've got a deal going right now between Ukraine and the United States. Really? Yes, we do. I've got a piece I pulled here from the Kiev Independent. I went to a Ukrainian newspaper for this. I go there so you don't have to. Kiev Independent, Dateline yesterday. Ukraine and U.S. reach an agreement on the minerals deal. Confirmed, by the way, by the Trump administration. We believe Zelensky is going to be in D.C. on Friday. Ukraine, this article from the Kiev Independent says, needs $524 billion for its recovery to rebuild after all the war. Ukraine has now reached an agreement with the U.S. on the minerals deal, confirmed by their deputy prime minister and Volodymyr Zelensky's office to the Kiev Independent, confirmed again by the Trump administration. Ukraine has now secured more favorable terms than originally it had. That's okay. That's part of the negotiation process. Y'all, here's the deal. We can now go to the peacemaker mode and say, hey, listen, Russia, that whole thing you told the world you were really, really scared of, the idea that Ukraine would be a NATO member, we'll just go ahead and say they're not going to be a NATO member. You feel better? No more NATO member. Oh, by the way, did we tell you? We now have a contract with the United States and Ukraine for rare earth minerals, and you can't have them. And if you try to get them, that's like saying you want a vital national interest of America to be ceded to you, Russia, and we're not going to let that happen. So this is chess versus checkers. What just happened is, by going with what Russia said about NATO, we took that off the table, and we also, oh, by the way, the thing they didn't say, the minerals, we took that too, because they've never openly said, we're here to claim the resources of Ukraine. What they said was, it's about NATO, it's about security. Okay, then we're taking that problem off the table. But guess what? You can't have those minerals that we know you really want, because they are now a joint venture between the United States and Ukraine. Ukraine will keep 50% of the proceeds developed from mining those rare earth minerals, and they will, by the agreement, be putting them back into investing in projects and restoration and renovation of Ukraine itself. And Russia, well, Russia doesn't get it. So now what's going to wind up happening is the United States leans into the table and says, hey, Vladimir, you know, we didn't vote against you at the UN. Hey, Vladimir, you know, we didn't call you a tyrant. Hey, Vladimir, those minerals over there, we're the ones under contract. So you're going to have to leave eastern Ukraine now. That's where this is headed. I'm telling y'all, this is genius. It's chess versus checkers. And that's a big, big deal. All right, listen, when we get back from this next break, I'm going to finish this up. I've got a section here from Scott Jennings on CNN. By the way, if you're not following Scott Jennings on social media, you need to. The guy, he literally becomes the sole voice of reason on CNN panels every day, and he spanks the liberals in such a way that they don't know what to do with him. And he's got thoughts on the CNN peace deal, or on CNN about the peace deal with Ukraine and Russia. I'll tell you about it in a minute. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. Be right back. Alabama and Tennessee's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on Hump Day. I'm going to get you all the way to go home time on a Friday afternoon. Just hang with us. We're halfway through the week. I'm still in this number one of the triple dipper, the peacemaker. And if you missed the earlier part, I said that a peacemaker and a peacekeeper are two different things. And that what we're watching right now, you know, blessed are the peacemakers. What we're watching right now are the efforts of the efforts of the Trump administration to actually be a peacemaker, someone who brings people to the table and makes them make peace, as opposed to a peacekeeper who just stands there in the middle, putting their hands up going, y'all don't fight now. Y'all don't fight. You agreed. Remember, you agreed. That's not where we are. It's been enjoyable to watch. By the way, I got an epic text. Ken from Harvest has texted in. He said, while I agree with you that Trump's foreign policy is analogous to chess, He said, I vehemently oppose the implication that the Biden administration's foreign policy was checkers. It says checkers does take some thought and strategy. The Biden foreign policy was more along the lines of tic-tac-toe, go fish, or even chutes and ladders. Or maybe Candyland. How about that? The Biden.
Hungry hippos.
Grab all the marbles you can.
Yeah.
I played a lot of Hungry Hippos with my kids.
I grew up on Hungry Hippos.
That was an angry game, too.
Yeah.
How many times did you slap it so hard you felt like you moved the board?
Oh, all the time.
Okay. By the way, when you were a kid, did they have battle tops?
I don't know what battle tops is.
Holy cow! Battle tops was literally the hungry hippos of my day.
Oh really?
Why am I talking about this right now?
I don't know.
Everybody had a little top. You wound the string on it. You put it in the stand, and then just like the same kind of thing. Hungry hippos. You zip the string.
You're talking about Beyblades? That's what it was for me.
It's called what?
Beyblades is what you're referencing.
Beyblades.
B E Y blades. I was a Beyblade collector, but it was like you said, you rip it and they like bounce off each other.
They would bounce off each other and then knock one out of the ring.
So that was called Beyblades when I was growing up.
Battle tops. Battle tops. It'll always be battle tops to me.
Like I said, I was a Beyblade collector. I loved it.
Nice. Beyblades. Okay. Mm. All right. I missed out on that. All right. Hey, Phil. Reel it back in. I'm sorry, squirrel.
Yeah.
But no, let's get back on topic. I got a soundbite here from Scott Jennings. All right. Scott Jennings from CNN. By the way, the guy he's on CNN. He appears to be a rock-solid conservative. He also appears to be a guy who could care less who's sitting next to them. He'll just say what needs to be said. So I got a clip here from Scott Jennings on a CNN panel, and I wish you could see the video because the rest of the panels are staring at him like he has three eyes because they can't believe what they're hearing. Go ahead.
I'm willing to give the new administration some latitude to try to enact the political will of the people of the United States, and that is for this to come to an end. The political will to continue to funding an open-ended engagement is draining rapidly. I think you would acknowledge that. And so Trump here is a new broker on the field and has a chance to do something amazing, and that is to get these two people to stop fighting, and in that case would bring some stability to the continent of Europe. And, you know, what he has to say publicly about Russia or Ukraine over the course of time, I guess I'm willing to give them some latitude if the ultimate result is this, what Pete Hegseth said initially, a sovereign and prosperous Ukraine. Those were his words. The United States strikes a rare earth mineral deal with Ukraine. I would love that. And the governments in Europe decide that they do need to take a little more responsibility for their own national security. If these are the outcomes and the killing stops, they ought to give Donald Trump the Nobel Peace Prize.
And the crowd just, how many. Yes, exactly. Scott Jennings. I don't know where he came from, but all of a sudden he's like on my radar because he's nailing it.
And some people, he's from Kentucky. Some people want him to run for Mitch McConnell's open seat.
But then we lose him on the punditry world.
Yeah, it's true.
But I can still live with that, I think. All right, so here's the thing. He nailed it. There's a lot of angst. And by the way, it makes me uncomfortable. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I look at, okay, Trump gets out there. Yes, he's bombastic, and I know it. And he gets out there and he starts calling, you know, Zelensky all kinds of names. And I feel like those names are better suited for Putin. I do. I get it. And it bugs me. But then I also see, you know, like this. I got a piece from Fox News. The United States votes against condemning Russia for Ukraine war as Trump administration chases a peace deal. So we're sitting there, in essence, siding with Russia, North Korea, and a couple of others in voting against a resolution backed by European allies to condemn Russia as the aggressor in the action at the UN Security Council. Why did we do that? We did it because it does no good for the peace negotiations right now. Everybody knows they're the aggressor. Why do we have to label it like that at this particular moment? All they were trying to do was poison pill the opportunity for further dialogue. So the U.S., first of all, voted against a portion of it and then abstained from voting against a competing resolution. The world is like, wait, what just happened? Why is the U.S. doing that? Well, if you can't figure out the chess match, then you don't deserve to be, you know, there at all. He also made the point that it's causing Europe to have to step up. So I've got a piece here from Time magazine. Macron from France came to the White House just in the last few days. Have you noticed this? They're coming here, by the way. Macron came to the White House. Zelensky is apparently coming to the White House. French President Emmanuel Macron considers himself a Trump whisperer. He likes to try and, you know, sort of season his comments in such a way, it says, and sort of try to sort of correct slightly on the overall narrative. Not really. You know what he wound up saying? He wound up saying that NATO countries in Europe are going to put $500 billion more into their own defense. How about that? How about that? Was that happening under Biden? No. The war broke out under Biden. Nobody was talking about peace under Biden. The Crimean Peninsula was lost under Obama Biden. And now we've got, all of a sudden, Europe is going to step up to the plate a little more. Ukraine and Russia may be coming to the table, and we're getting a multi-hundred-billion-dollar deal for minerals to help us recoup some of what we spent over there. Now, here's the other piece. Fox News, Dateline yesterday. Boris Johnson, the former UK prime minister, you know, the guy with the hair. That's a rat's nest on his head, man. What is that?
I cannot stand that guy for many reasons. For many, many reasons.
The hair being one of them?
Yeah. The hair being the cherry on top of all the other reasons, yeah.
Yes. I don't like you for this, this, and this, and you have bad hair, too.
Yep.
It's like he's got a constant bedhead going on.
Yeah.
All right, so Boris Johnson, though he is the UK former prime minister, he was doing an interview the other day on an organization, a move. What am I trying to say? A show called The Story. And he was talking about the war in Ukraine, and he said that he believes that the European nations, to include the United Kingdom, need to provide what they call a deterrence force, which is the same thing as peacekeepers. We're not going to put American boots on the ground. That's right now, that's not in the works. There is no intent right now to put American boots on the ground, but there will have to be somebody there watching over the territory and making sure there's no incursions, there's no sniping, there's no violation of the treaty. So we're looking right now at, he says, I think we need to go forward with a deterrence force composed of Brits, the French, and other European countries backstopped by the U.S. with intelligence support, but no American boots on the ground, he says. And Johnson also praised the idea of a rare earth mineral rights deal between Washington and Kiev, explaining it would commit the United States to the freedom, sovereignty, and Ukraine security of Ukraine. Yes, it would. He also points out, rightfully, like I said earlier, that what we're seeing is Russia wanted that stuff, and now they can't get it. All right, that's plenty. That's a lot. Peacemaker. Remember, when you're talking to somebody, just go ahead and tell them, you know what I heard? Peacekeeper versus peacemaker. And blessed are the peacemakers, is scripture. Peacemakers bring people to the table, and that's where we are.
I'll just say about Boris Johnson, though.
Are you going back to that?
This war could have ended much, much earlier if he didn't throw a wrench in a potential peace agreement. I think it was like 6 months or so after the initial invasion.
I think that would have been in jeopardy, though, anyway, with Biden still in office feeding the fame.
Yeah, flames. Exactly. I'm saying the Biden administration sent Boris Johnson to do its job and throw a wrench in that agreement then. So, although a lot of what he said there is correct, anytime I hear him talking about the Ukrainian situation, I'm like, this could have potentially been over a lot sooner if it wasn't for you and that bedhead going in there and messing stuff up. So.
Bedhead. All right, fair enough. Several text messages that I'll get to when we get back from this break. We're taking a break right now. We'll do that, and then we're going to come back and talk about culling the herd, because, yes, we do know that some departments in the federal government are literally losing employees, and I'll tell you who they are. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.